Did you know that where markets are concerned, it's not easy to detect the difference between objective and subjective reality, or between reality and fantasy? The business's view of the consumer has serious bottom-line implications. At Plus 94 Research, we help businesses cut through the uncertainty by gathering and processing real consumer intelligence through advanced scientific research methodologies. Plus 94 Research, the science of decision-making.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele, a show that matches business mentees with exceptional mentors to provide the skills and knowledge to navigate the entrepreneurial journey. Beyond Mentorship is brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
A very good evening to you, and welcome to this week's installment of Beyond Mentorship here at 101.9 High FM. My name is Nimrod Mbele, and thanks for tuning in on this very glorious evening. I hope your day was well. If it wasn't as great as you've planned, you still have a bit of an opportunity to introspect and make it better for tomorrow, and I'm sure things will be fine. Meanwhile, let's us continue to make small differences in our own little spaces, particularly from entrepreneurship point of view, knowing that the unemployment rate is the biggest in this country. So this show is actually curated to make a bit of a difference every day. And hopefully these kind of differences that we make through the prisms of our various esteemed guests will certainly make a difference to your business as you proceed. Anyway, before we get into the gist of our conversation tonight, let me dispense with the words of gratitude. As a norm, Michael McKenna, who just left, thank you very much, Michael, for a job well done. And you've given us a very great insight on current affairs. As we move on, let me also take this opportunity to thank Craig Guthrie, who's on the controller. Thank you very much, Craig. And of course, last but not least, let's acknowledge Betsy. Betsy, once again, thank you very much for organizing our guest. In our last episode, I had a privilege of interviewing Jean Voch. I'm sure if you had a chance to listen to the show, it was very invigorating in so many ways. Jean is the MD at Ingolosi Foundation. They're doing sterling work in the city of Johannesburg by helping up-and-coming inner-city youth with employment opportunities, entrepreneurship support. So if you missed that particular show, not to worry, simply go to the High FM website, download that particular podcast or any podcast for that matter, and share your views with us. Our SMS line is 3419. The Telegram is 061-895-1019. And of course, your views and thoughts are most welcome via my X handle, which is _@DrMbele. In today's conversation, we've got two segments. The first segment, I'll be joined by Clive Butler, who's CEO and a co-founder of Conducive Capital, amongst many organizations that he steered. I'm quite privileged that I'll be chatting to him shortly. I mean, Clive will give us his views and insights on funding and support for entrepreneurs, especially in the tech space, because I know that's his pet project. So we'll get to hear more from him. In a second segment, I'll be joined by Newa Belinda, who's an official at Africa Tycoon Alumni, and she will tell us about Africa Tycoon Alumni and its genesis and the kind of support it does and how far they've gone. So as you can hear, there's quite a bit that we've got for your delight. Before we get into this conversation, I think it's fair and appropriate, if not fitting, that we join the chorus by expressing our sincerest condolences to the passing of the former Reserve Bank Governor and the former Minister of Finance, Tito Mboweni. We all know that Tito was one of the most ethical ministers, and it's a very rare sight to see. And his passing will really be missed a great deal. He did a sterling work, as part of the the team that worked on economic policies during the challenging period. You might recall we had at some point a very slow economic growth, unemployment rate, but under his leadership we were able to stabilize, and then most importantly our public position in the global market was somehow steady, for we everybody knew that we were being led by a man of stature. And we all know that, I mean, he did a wonderful job at the Reserve Bank. So he will sadly miss, and we hope that his legacy does not diminish with him. It is important that you and I consistently elevate his work by making reference to. Anyway, before we get into the well-deserved conversation with Clive, let's have a quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll resume our conversation with Clive, who's waiting in anticipation, and so are we.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. This is Beyond Mentorship. You've just joined us. We haven't really missed. We've just about to start a brilliant conversation with Clive Batko, who is the CEO and founder of Conducive Capital. Without any waste of time, let me take this opportunity to welcome him. Clive, you're welcome.
Yeah, thank you, Doctor. Just sorry, if you don't mind, you're coming through very, very softly. I'm struggling to hear, so if you don't mind speaking up just slightly.
Okay, great stuff.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, can you hear me now? Is it better now?
Oh, my. It's better, yes.
Okay, lovely, lovely, lovely. Just call me Nimrod. I'm one of your biggest fan, I tell you.
Oh, thank you, appreciate it.
Yeah, without any waste of time, you obviously have been a serial entrepreneur, and one of your latest baby is the Conducive Capital. Take us through the genesis of this particular enterprise that you have co-created or co-founded with Mitchell Adams.
Yes, thank you. So just my background, firstly, I was the CEO of Accenture South Africa, and I left Accenture where I was doing a lot of entrepreneurial work. I worked in Silicon Valley, built many, many, many technology companies, had been involved in exiting a number of technology companies. And about 12 years ago, I left Accenture to start a venture capital company called Kalon Venture Partners. So I was the CEO and the founder of Kalon Venture Partners. We raised $250 million. We made 11 investments, very exciting investments. Companies like Ozo, which is one of the top payments companies in South Africa. A company like Senmark, which is one of the top cybersecurity companies in South Africa. A company like Mobis, which is one of the top digital marketing companies. So completely tech focused. And so I left there at the end of December. We had deployed all our capital of $250 million, and I felt I really wanted to start a new fund and raise a much bigger fund. So I left there and I formed, co-founded with Mitch Adams and Matebi Zlovo, a company called Conducive Capital. We haven't yet, we're in the process of raising capital. We want to raise our initial first close about $15 million, so roughly 250, 300 million rand, and then go on eventually to raise a billion rand fund. So that's our big, hairy, audacious goal over the next few years, is to raise a much bigger fund. And the reason we're doing this is, well, for two reasons. One is that there are some brilliant minds in South Africa, and they've got some brilliant ideas. You know, there's just so much entrepreneurial activity in the tech space. There's so much innovation. There's just so much happening. But one of the limitations is the access to capital. So a lot of these entrepreneurs, to really take their idea to reality and to build a big sustainable business, is they need capital. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to raise the funding. So firstly, it'll be for some early stage capital. So it'll be post revenue, early stage, not seed stage, not just after angel stage, when a business is just starting to get what we call product market fit. We invest and they start to get some referenceable clients, and they're making a few hundred thousand rand a month. We'll start. That's a place we'll start investing. And then our main core of our investment philosophy and strategy is technology businesses across verticals, whether it's education tech or it's marketing tech or it's property tech or it's fintech or it's solar tech, whatever it might be, and then deploy into growth capital. So once the business is really doing about $1-2 million a year, and we want to help them take it from the $1 or $2 million to $10 million to $100 million. So the interesting thing about this fund is, if you look at venture capital around the globe, 10 years ago, most of the venture capitalists were actually entrepreneurs, tech entrepreneurs who had sold their businesses, and they were actually the operators behind the operators. They were entrepreneurs first and venture capitalists second. Now, in South Africa, and no disrespect to my competitors out there, but in South Africa, predominantly you find non-entrepreneurs. So they're people from private equity or from accounting, from actuarial science, from legal, etc. So they're not actually entrepreneurs that are helping and investing in the next generation of innovative entrepreneurs. But between Mitch and I, we both are entrepreneurs. Mitch was a co-founder of Ozo. You know, I've built and helped build over 100 tech companies. So we really are the entrepreneurs first. We're not check writers. You know, if you just want to check, we're the wrong company. We want to get extensively involved and help you with strategy and product development and marketing and sales, and help you set up your sales organization and really help you scale globally, take a small idea into a big idea, take it all over the world, and then eventually help these companies exit, sell their companies to hopefully international investors. So that's really the genesis of Conducive Capital. We just started a few months ago. We now are in the process of raising capital. We've got some interested potential investors, but we haven't yet closed our round, and we're hoping to do that sometime in the new year.
Absolutely. That's beautiful insight they've just shared with us. If you've just joined us, I'm having a very interesting conversation that will ensue shortly. I'm joined by Clyde Butko, who is a CEO and founder of Conducive Capital. One of the interesting points that you've just highlighted, Clive, perhaps maybe just to amplify your point, is that most of the funding institutions are not managed or run by entrepreneurs. And by the way, this is my own personal observation as well. And that is why majority of businesses are not taking off as they should, purely because the people who are signing the checks don't have much insight in running their own businesses. And I would say jokingly to sort of others, to say you have not even run a salon. And here you are being given this huge responsibility to suspend billions of rents. Your risk appetite is very questionable, and your investment appetite is also very questionable, purely because you haven't been there. You haven't, you know, you might have qualifications, you know, from an academic point of view, but you're not an entrepreneur. So perhaps maybe this kind of conversation will elevate a little bit this concept that we do need men and women who have been in the benches, you know, who really got a bit of experience behind. But anyway, that's a conversation one another, but I just wanted to acknowledge that point. Your take in terms of where South Africa is in relation to developing countries. We know that in Kenya, there's a huge tech scenario that is taking place, Brazil, and so on. So where are we in South Africa? You know, the reason why I'm asking this question, Clive, is that we need to we need to fast track development, and for us to do, we need partners such as yourself. But where are we in relation to other emerging markets?
Yeah, I think if you just look in Africa as an example, if you look at the capital that was deployed into tech entrepreneurs in the last year, I think Egypt was number one, or Nigeria number one, Kenya, Egypt. South Africa was only about number four, number five. So the amount of capital, unfortunately, after COVID and after the high interest rates has gone down significantly, that's being invested by venture capital companies into technology entrepreneurs. I think the issue to me is South Africa, I think in the venture capital space, in my opinion, is still more a cottage industry. You know, there maybe is, you know, a few billion rand, 5 billion rand, 10 billion rand. You know, there's not a lot of money that's actually going into early stage entrepreneurs. And that's where I think we have a challenge. So we have two challenges. One, I don't think there's significant or sufficient mentorship, what you were talking about there, what I call mentorship capital, and people that have been there, done it, you know, got the t-shirt, and they can help the next generation of entrepreneurs grow their businesses. And then secondly, there's not enough growth capital and early stage capital. I think what would be really great, I mean, there's companies like the South African SME Fund, which is a few billion rand fund, which is helping invest in fund managers like ourselves to help these entrepreneurs. There's organizations like the PRC, E-Square. So there's a number of organizations that are deploying capital into fund managers like ourselves. And they are a critical part of this ecosystem to get this ecosystem to work better. But if I look across the patch, if I look at how many entrepreneurs I'm seeing every month and how many of them are actually accessing capital, very small percentage, you know, one or two in 100 are probably accessing capital to enable them to grow their businesses to a next stage where they can raise the next level of funding. So that's a real challenge for me in South Africa, is we just don't have enough funding and we don't have enough mentors. And you know, if we just had more mentors that could, you know, one thing about entrepreneurship is a learned skill. You don't come out the womb with entrepreneurship. You learn it. And unfortunately, you need to learn it by doing it. It's action. It's like riding a bike. You have to ride a bike. To learn how to ride a bike, you've got to get on the bike, and you've got to fall off the bike, and you've got to scrape your knee, and you've got to – that's how you learn how to ride a bike. You can't do it in your MBA at whatever university there might be. I've done a lot of lecturing in the MBA schools in the entrepreneurship class, and unfortunately – very bright, you know, very diligent, everything like that, but the lack of entrepreneurial skills is very, very apparent. These people have never built an entrepreneur. Sorry, let me not generalize. But the majority of them have never actually built an entrepreneurial business. And I can hear from their questions and their discussions is they really don't know what the next thing is to do. They don't understand that, and I get that, to go from zero to $1 million is a certain type of skill. From $1 million to $10 million is a fundamentally game. It's a fundamentally different game. You know, it's like playing cricket and playing rugby. It's never mind just, it's the same sport in a different division. It's a completely different sport. And then taking it from $10 million to $100 million is another different sport. And unfortunately, a lot of South African entrepreneurs, they don't get the mentorship and guidance to say, you know, what got you there to $1 million is not necessarily going to take you there to $10 million. And they're trying to do it by themselves, and they either raise capital and they destroy, and you know, they deploy all their capital, spend all their capital, and they actually don't reach the next milestone where they can raise a further round of capital. So what you're finding in South Africa and around the world is what we call down rounds. So someone will raise at a valuation of $100 million, and then they'll try and raise $200-300 million to make sure the investors get a good return on their capital. But they'll only be able to raise it to $50 million. And, you know, when they do that and they can't justify those high valuations, it's ultimately, unfortunately, the start of the end of that company, because no investor is going to invest in a company where the valuation has gone from 100 to 50 or a billion to 500. You know, it just doesn't happen that way. So that's very, very unfortunate. And that's where I think entrepreneurs need, sometimes they need to optimize more on the value of the investor, like Conducive Capital, where we can really help them grow their businesses. We can run strategy sessions for them. We can help them design and set up their sales organization. We can help them with, like Mitch, my co-founder, is a deep, deep technical guy. We can help them with their product and help them with their technology, help them with their engineering. But unfortunately, we don't have enough of that, and the entrepreneurs don't necessarily see that. So we need more education in our entrepreneurs to be able to them to really take their businesses globally and then exit and create, you know, financial freedom for themselves.
Thank you very much for that. What a very insightful observation that you've pointed to us. I mean, I do know that, access to funding is one of the biggest biggest challenges that is facing majority of entrepreneurs. But you are saying, I mean, what do you make of an argument that suggests that in South Africa, it's not that we don't have money, we just don't have sufficient, sufficient way in which money can be raised and guaranteeing the investors' interest.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, what's happened in the last few years, Nimrod. So before 2021, there was just it was completely crazy what was going out there in the venture capital ecosystem. People were doing $1 million and they were raising $100 million valuation, so they were getting 100 times multiple on their revenue. Now, that should be between 5 and 10, you know, not 100. If you're doing $1 million, your business is worth about $5 to $10 million. So it was paying $100 million, and those businesses now, they raised a bucket load of capital. They've spent that money, and no one's prepared to come and put more money into those businesses. And actually now, a lot of them are actually going out of business. You read about it every day, about more and more businesses going out of business. So the issue, what's happening now, there is still dollars in the venture capital, not so much in South Africa, but around the world, there's lots of money in venture capital. There's no shortage of that. I just heard one of the top venture capitalists in Silicon Valley, Andreessen Horowitz, just raised, I think it was something like $10 billion for an artificial intelligence fund. I mean, that's big money. You know, that really serious capital. So there is actually capital. The problem is that capital is going into the top 1 or 2% of businesses. Because, you know, me as Conducive Capital, if I'm seeing 100 businesses and I'm going to make one investment, I'm going to make it in that top 1% of businesses that I see. So It doesn't make the other businesses not good businesses. They're just not ripe for investor capital, for venture capital. But they still could be great businesses, but they can't scale at the speed of a technology business where it actually does require venture capital to take it from that $1 million to $10 million. But very, very few, maybe the top 1% to 2%, 3% are actually getting that capital that is actually out there in the marketplace. So it's great for venture capitalists. We've got capital. We can invest in the best entrepreneurs. But unfortunately for those entrepreneurs who 3-4 years ago, the top 25%, they were getting money. That money is now dried up and they're not actually getting the capital that they so need. They desperately need that capital to help them take their businesses to the next level.
When we come back after break, I just want to make a follow-up on your point, because you're saying you probably just invest one in 10 businesses. I want you know, I wanted to share with the listener, what would you consider as a critical success condition? And to your point, other businesses don't necessarily mean they're not that good enough. But how do we scale up the ones that are dropping off from your end? And who's picking those, you know, in terms of investment? Let's take a break. We'll be back in a second.
This is Beyond Mentorship with Dr. Nimrod Mbele. It's brought to you with the compliments of Plus 94 Research, the science of decision making.
Welcome back. If you've just joined us, I'm having an interesting conversation with Clive Butko, who is the CEO and a founder of Conducive Capital. Before we took that break, you know, Clive was giving us a very good sense of his risk appetite, so to speak, in terms of business that you invest. I mean, the numbers are quite tight. He's saying out of 10 you invest, out of 10 companies that you see, you probably invest one, because you're looking at creme de la creme. Take us through, what does that mean in a nutshell?
Doctor, sorry, you know, you've gone so silent again. I really can't hear. Was the question something about what we look for when we make an investment?
Absolutely, absolutely. The question is, I mean, you obviously don't fund. You're looking at top tier business to be funded. And the question is, out of the ones that you're funding, what is it that you look for that attracts your investors, and to a point where you're able to take that particular business to scale?
Well, I think, let me give you a nice little metaphor, which is my 5 T's. So there's a number of things we look at, but I'll just summarize it into these 5 T's. I mean, number one is, you know, nothing great is built by one person. Hardly ever is something great is built by one person. They're built by teams. You know, if you look at Apple, it was never Steve Jobs by himself. It was Steve Wozniak and Steve Jobs. If you look at Microsoft, it was Gates and another guy. And if you look at Bezos in Amazon, it's two of them or three of them. You know, so we preferably invest in teams and not individuals, because it's really hard to be an individual. You start your first company and you try and build this company by yourself. So it's team, team, team. It's not 1, 2, and 3, but it's like when you buy property, you look for location, location, location. We like team, team, team. You know, there's no buying team. So number one is team. Number two is we invest in technology businesses. We want the technology to be 10 times better than anything else in the marketplace. So if it's just a commodity and everyone else is building the same type of technology, we're not interested. If it's just the same type of payments company, which is 100 of those payments companies, I'm not interested in investing in them, because they just become a commodity and it's a race to zero. It starts becoming a price game, and that's how quickly you get to zero to charge for your services. So that's number two. It's got to be something like 10 times the best than anything else in the marketplace. Number three, which is related to number two, it's got to have needs to be in the trenches. So it needs to have defensibility. So it needs to have 12 to 18 months worth of a moat around the castle. So if someone else tries to build it, and most successful businesses, they're making money and they're making profit, someone is going to copy them. There's no question about that. The only question is when. So if they've got 12 to 18 months, their technology, or maybe it's just their distribution channels. They've got distribution all over the world, and it's exclusive distribution, and that gives them defensibility. Maybe it's their business model that gives them defensibility. But there's a number of ways you can actually create defensibility. But I like to see, or we like to see, 12 to 18 months ahead of the pack. So if we keep on innovating, we keep on finding more distribution partners, we keep on innovating on the technology, we will stay 12 to 18 months ahead of the competition. So that's number three, which is the trenches. The number four T is traction. You know, we are growth investors, so we want to see that not only what the number is. You know, people say, well, what number do I need to be to invest in? I'm less concerned about the number. I could say it's R1 million a month. I could say it's R500,000 a month. I could say it's, you know, whatever, $1 million a year, whatever it might be. It's not actually that. It's actually more important to me is the volume of growth. It's how quickly you're growing. So if you add a couple of 100,000 and you're growing 10, 11% every single month, if you grow 11% month on month, you're 3Xing your business in 1 year. So if your business is one million a month, in 1 year, if you're just growing at 11%, you're at $3 million a month. That's, so if you had $1 million in 1 year, you're at $3 million. So there's a great saying in venture capital. It's called double T and triple D. And that means you treble your business, double. So if you had $1 million, I want to see that you're going to be at $3 million in a year. That's one treble. Then I want to see you at $9 million, which is the second treble. Then $18 million, which is the first double. $36 million, second double. $72 million, third double. Because if I can see that, I know you're going to more likely become a unicorn. So that's the fourth T. I want to see traction. I want to see that you're solving a real problem in the marketplace. Because you can tell me, these forecasts, I'm going to be a bazillion rand business or dollar business in a year. But if I haven't seen the traction, well, that's great to have those forecasts, but I'm not investing on a forecast. I'm investing in what's really happened in the marketplace. And if you are solving a big enough problem and you've got obsessed clients, they're going to keep on buying from you and buying from you and buying from you. And I know you're solving, a significant problem. And then the last T is just the terms. We're a venture capital company. We're in there to obviously pay. We use other people's money, so we need to give good returns to our investors. So the terms must be fair. The valuation must be fair. The terms must be fair. It must be good for the entrepreneur and good for us. So if the entrepreneur comes with this ridiculous valuation and it's very much in line, that's great for the entrepreneur but not good for us, we're not going to make that investment. But we don't want it to be in our favor. We just want it to be fair. So those are the five T's that I will look at. And probably the one I'm missing, which is probably the U, which is unit economics. It's got to make sense. Your financials of your business have got to make sense. If I put in a dollar, I want to make sure $1.50, $2, or $3 comes out. If I'm putting in a dollar and I'm getting 5 cents out, 5 American cents out, that's not good business. And it's called the burn multiple. It's how capital efficient your money actually is. So if I'm putting in a dollar, I want to get more than a dollar out. Because then I know you've got a very capital efficient business. And that's the type of business that I like to invest in. I don't mind losing a little bit of money up front, but I want to see the story where you are going to turn those unit economics around. So just quickly to end off, there's something called the cost of customer acquisition. How much does it cost you to acquire a customer? So if Nimrod is a customer, what does it cost them to actually acquire you as a customer to go and buy a new pair of glasses? It costs them $100. Okay, but they're only going to get $20 from you for the lifetime of that. That's bad business. But if it costs them $100 and you're going to buy 10 pairs of glasses at $100 and you make $1,000, that's very, very good business. So I like to see the unit economics that actually make sense, that can get you to profit. I want to see that you can get to profitability over time. I'm not too focused on profitability in the short term, but I want to see that your unit economics can get you to profitability. And too often I see these entrepreneurs, they're selling a dollar for 80 cents. Now, and they say, yeah, but I'm going to sell so many. I said, well, everyone's going to buy a dollar for 80 cents, but that doesn't mean you've got what we call product market fit. That doesn't mean the dogs are eating the dog food. You're just giving away 20 cents on every dollar. I want to make sure for that dollar, you're getting $2 or $3. Well, then I think you're sitting on a nice business.
Interesting observations indeed. So, but tell me, of the five T's that you clearly have outlined, one obviously was you're focusing on teams, not individuals, which is great. And secondly, you're focusing on technology business. And thirdly, it was about trenches. And fourthly, it was about distribution. The last one is about traction. And of these five T's that you mentioned, which one, from where you're sitting, best speaks to you as an individual with that vast amount of experience in venture capital?
Yeah, I'll give you an actual anecdote. We invested in a company probably about 4 or 5 years ago where it was really a startup company, but the entrepreneurs had grown a business, that sold it for a few hundred million. So they were seasoned entrepreneurs. These people really knew how to build a technology business. And we invested in them, and we invested purely in the team. So, there's the jockey and horse analogy. You invest in the jockey, which is the team, or invest in the horse, which is the idea. We don't invest in the idea. That's a much lower, it's important, but it's a much lower priority. We invested in these entrepreneurs, the jockeys, just because we knew the product they were showing us, or the horse they were showing us initially, we didn't think it was the right horse. We didn't think it was the right idea. we never thought it would make money. But the jockeys, we knew these persons, they would find a way to pivot and actually make money. And I must say, 5 years down the line, they are just blowing the lights out completely. They found a new business model. They found a new technology. And they're doing exceptionally well. So our gut feel and our instinct from being able to pick winners was absolutely spot on. But I'll tell you something. It took them about five iterations of finding new products to sell till they actually their product became a real winner. But we backed the jockeys. Jockey. That's, you know, at the end of the day, I can see the best idea in the world with a mediocre jockey. I'm not investing. I'm walking away. I can see a world-class jockey with a mediocre idea. I'll put money into them because I know they will pivot that idea and they will actually make money. And I'll tell you something, it's never let me down.
That's a very interesting observation indeed. So you're definitely betting for the jockey, not so much about the horse. But obviously you have made some good money in looking at both the jockey and the horse, because in the past instance, there's always been about the horse. And you're saying you're not going to invest in a horse that is obviously not going to be that profitable looking at the jockey. And one of the issues that you've raised and that pretty much that you've spoken about is the importance of mentorship. You don't go into business or you don't sponsor or support a business without being integral part of its ideation, its distribution channel, its marketing strategy, and in financial modeling and so on and so forth. How important is this? And I tell you why I'm asking this question, because why is it that most entities don't necessarily see the value of mentorship?
I think it's hubris. I think it's ego. You know, entrepreneurs are very stubborn people. I suppose everyone has got their stubbornness, and entrepreneurs particularly, they're very stubborn. They believe by asking for help is a sign of weakness, where I try and explain to them by asking for help is actually a sign of strength. So why aren't you standing on the shoulders of the giants that have been there before you? Why do you want to pay your own school fees? Rather pay the school fees that I've already paid those school fees. Let me rather show you that don't go left because there's a pothole. Go right because that's a route to riches. And sometimes they're fantastic and they listen and they implement and execute and we build great businesses. Other times they feel like they need to have all the answers and they just won't listen to you. So it's quite unfortunate. But I've worked in many parts of the world, and it's not a South African problem. This is a common problem. We entrepreneurs are very, very, they're very hard. They're hard people, and their heads are they're tough, and they want to do it themselves. They want to prove they can do it. But it just seems so silly to try and do it yourself when you can surround yourself with all these people that are not brighter than you, they've just got more experience than you. And just bring that experience to bear and let them help you. No, don't go that way, go that way. Don't do that, or maybe try this or not, try that. And unfortunately, the ones that listen go far. The ones that don't listen, unfortunately, I haven't seen any of them go too far, because they're paying their school fees all the time. They're making the same errors that I made 30 years ago. They're making them now. And they don't have to make them, because I can tell them, let me tell you my experience. I know this is the wrong way to go. There's a pothole there, and you're gonna damage your wheel. You're gonna fall off your bike. No, that's the way they want to do it. And thank you, I hear you, but I'm not listening to you, and I'll do my own thing. But you know, that's why we don't back. That's why one of the things I look for in entrepreneurs in their team, number one thing I look for is coachability.
Absolutely.
If they're not coachable, yeah, I don't care how good I won't invest in them, because if they're not coachable, they're only going to be as good as they are. They can only take the business as far as they know it. And as I was saying earlier, they don't know what they don't know.
Absolutely.
They don't know what's coming from naught to $1 million. They don't know how to go from $1 to $10 million.
Absolutely.
You know, running a 10-people business, Nimrod, and running a 100-people business or a 1,000-people business, done them. Yep. And they're fundamentally different. Fundamentally different skills of running a 10-person business to a 100-person business to a 1,000-person business.
Absolutely. You know, Clive, unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it in. It's been absolutely beautiful. I tell you what, we there's so much richness that comes from this particular conversation. And I don't think the listeners have really grasped all this beautiful insights. And I want to challenge you again, if time permits, let's have this conversation, shortly, because I think it will certainly benefit a whole lot of other people.
With pleasure, anytime.
Thank you very much. That was Clive Bradco, who is the CEO and founder of Conducive Capital. We now know, when you listen to the conversation from the likes of Clive, you really know that he's really know what he's talking about. And it has been absolutely beautiful to hear from a guru, so to speak, in terms of how to really make good decisions around business development. And obviously, this is the right person. Well, we're going to have to now take a break and we'll be back as we enter the next leg of our conversation. As I've indicated to you earlier, that I will be joined by Newa Belinda from Africa Tycoon. We'll hear more about their alumni a program that they are running. Let's take a break. We'll be back in a second.